Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas Realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Shotgun on second and short. Rudolph to throw it. Looking for a big play. Sideline. And it's intercepted.
On cue.
Deshaun Wright, but he was out of bounds.
I don't know. We got one ref saying he was inbounds.
So this is going to be a discussion.
They're giving it to him. Let's see. One hand up. Both feet down. Did he have possession?
Rolling on the field is an interception by the defense. First down, Chicago.
I think that's a catch.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, they've run the fewest offensive plays per game, and they have the most plays on defense. Williams, a strike to DJ Moore. Touchdown, Chicago. The turnover turns into points. Moore throws the ball into the crowd.
Watch this little whip route from DJ Moore. It looks like he's going out. Nope. Skirts his way back inside. Caleb puts the ball perfectly on time. That is a quarterback and his receiver in sync. And DJ Moore has had some drop issues. No drop issues there.
Third and five, 4 minutes to go. First half. Williams throws it. And it's caught for the touchdown. Loveland carries a defender with him for the score. Second of the day for Caleb Williams.
This is going to turn out to be a one-on-one matchup. Colson Loveland against Kyle Duggar. And he sets him up with a tiny little outside at the top of the route and then cuts it back across. And Caleb puts it right on his body, catches, falls into the end zone. Colson Loveland has really come on these last few weeks. And you can see the chemistry starting to grow.
Turns this into a third and manageable. Flags are down. Williams downfield. Open man. Touchdown. DJ Moore.
Offside.
The Bears go back in front.
Result of the play. Touchdown.
Jack Sawyer was offsides. Chicago takes the lead.
Watch what Odunze does to Jalen. It's going to completely open up all this space right here. And DJ Moore is going to have nobody around him whatsoever. Wide open touchdown on the free play. Caleb Williams taking advantage. Great drive. Despite a big penalty for the Chicago Bears.
Rudolph looking. Rudolph is sacked.
Ball's out.
Ball's out. Ball is rolling around. Who's got it? Bears had a shot at it. Steelers then had a chance. Chicago's Montez Sweat. And the Bears secure it.
It's coming by the defense. First down, Chicago.
Montez Sweat's first sack of the day came one-on-one on Darnell Washington, and so does his second. He gets around him quicker this time, gets to Mason Rudolph, knocks the ball out. Huge play for the Bears defense. Trevon Dexter, the big dancing bear, according to Montez Sweat, tried to dance with the ball there. Wasn't able to pick it up, but wow. Massive play for the Chicago Bears. Takeaway specialist.
Sweat forces the fumble, recovers the fumble. The rookie Manungai in there. Shotgun for Williams. Hold on. Manungai. He's a hammer. Touchdown, Bears.
Don't even need the fourth down. just follow that interior of the offensive line that has been together all year long and done such a great job. Look at this push from the guys in the middle. Tooney, Dolman, Jackson. He doesn't even get touched before he crosses the goal line. Give credit to the big guys up front on the Bears' offensive line.
Three straight games with a rushing touchdown for Manungai. From the gun, double clutch, touchdown, Freiermuth. And that's a BB from Mason Rudolph. Steelers get the score. Long drive, they cap it off. 17 plays with a touchdown strike. Fourth down, 28 seconds left. Steelers trying to get organized. Clock is ticking. They need 6 yards. Rudolph throws, and it's tipped in the line of scrimmage. It's over. The Bears defense comes through. The Chicago Bears, one of the biggest surprises in the NFL this season, will move to 8-3. Victory formation for Chicago.
Not the same old Bears. Ben Johnson's been saying it all year long. Kevin Byard's been saying it all year long. These are not your same old Chicago Bears.
They are 8-1 in their last 9 games. They hold off the Steelers 31-28.
And now it's time for Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, and there it is. It's a good, better, best Monday on 670 The Score. Those highlights courtesy of CBS, otherwise known as the Watt Family Broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And great clips. We will not say goodnight. We will say good morning with the Bears Monday on 6-7 The Score, and it is another victory. As the great Ian Eagle mentioned there, 8 of the last 9 the Bears have won, and yes, that accumulates to an 8-3 record after dropping their first 2 of the season. They sit atop the NFC North, and we have plenty to unpack for the next 5 hours until Mully and Haunt take over. And we will take your texts, we will take your phone calls. 312-644-6767. That phone number will do both. You can call it or you can text it. Here's a question for you right out of the jump. The top 3 reasons why the Bears are where they are. We can probably agree on the first one. Although if you don't have Ben Johnson as one of yours, I'd love to hear your case as to why he's not. But give me your top 3 reasons why the Bears are where they are. Where is that? 8-3 atop the NFC North. And it was a major swing as far as winning this one or losing this one. You can find statistics and numbers and percentages all over. They're all a bit silly because we know how drastically things can change throughout a season. But let's take one that I saw from ESPN Analytics. With a loss against the Steelers, the Bears' chances to make the playoffs 47%. With a win against the Steelers, their chances were or are now 70% to make the playoffs. And I've seen various ones that look close. I was looking at another website. What was I at today? Playoffstatus.com. That had the Bears now after this victory with a 72% chance to get to the playoffs. And it does feel like there should be a major jump in between the two. Why? Because the Bears have a very, very difficult remaining strength of schedule. I believe 4th most difficult of the opponents that they face. So getting a win against the Steelers with Mason Rudolph instead of Aaron Rodgers was very, very important. But the Bears were able to do something on Sunday that they haven't been able to do yet this season, and that's get a win against an opponent with a .500 record. That was the first time they did that. But the biggest storyline of the game that we watched unfold on Sunday was who the Bears won without. I've seen a lot of NFL games. I've covered a lot of NFL games. I'd be hard-pressed to think of a team as decimated as the Bears were, specifically defensively, that still came out with a victory. I mean, you were talking about a team that did not have their 3 starting linebackers. And once Tyreek Stevenson went down early in the first half, the Bears did not have their top 3 cornerbacks on their roster. That's not even counting Dio Odangbo, who's lost for the season. And I've seen some NFL teams lose because they simply did not have their left tackle, although Ozzie Trapillo was very, very good filling in for Theo Benedict. This is a team that has drastically changes. They've changed expectations, right? They have changed your expectations, and they have changed their own expectations from, uh-oh, here we go again, to we can win at all costs, and we can win with whoever is on the field. And it has to do with the man from South Carolina, and that's Ben Johnson. As we like to do, and I've been fortunate enough to do it every time I've been in this seat in the midnight hour, is start with a good, better, best. We go to the locker room.
Hell yeah!
It takes a village. It takes a village. And I'm talking about players. I'm talking about coaches. I'm talking about training staff. I'm talking about everybody in this building.
Everybody.
And here we are towards the back half of the season, and our depth is being tested. All right? It would have been so easy to walk. Man, how are we going to win this game? We got no linebackers.
Uh-huh. What are you talking about?
We got no linebackers. How are we going to win this game? Jonah Jackson goes down for a minute. Luke Newman steps on. Yeah. Theo's down. Ozzie steps up. Yeah. Man, I can keep going on and on and on and on, man. Credit to you guys. That's number eight.
Yes, sir.
That's
yes,
number
sir.
Eight. All right? I got two game balls here. Two game balls. Number one is this. Like I said, man, we had a lot of guys go down on defense. This guy stepped up. He wore the green dot. He had us going all game long. DJ, come on, baby.
Hey, man, I couldn't do it with everybody in this room, man.
Yes,
hey, like he said, it takes a village, man. The DBs from the D-line to the special teams to offense, man. We all had each other's back, man, and I appreciate y'all, boys.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, this guy's been getting hot lately. I don't know if you guys have been feeling it, but I certainly have. Since the bye week, it's just each week, a little bit more. It's going up. Give me a little Montez Sweat!
Hey, I just want y'all to know I appreciate everybody in this room, man. Let's keep going.
Yes, sir.
Good, better, best!
Good, better, best!
Never let it rest!
Never let it rest!
Good gets better!
Good gets better!
Any better gets better!
Any better gets better!
Bears on three! 1, 2, 3!
Bears!
Boy, that's... That's the good stuff right there. The good, better, best has become the Chicago rallying cry. And, you know, one thing about taking over as a new head coach, we'll talk more about this coming up at 12:30. We'll hear from Ben Johnson in full from his press conference, his postgame comments. But one of the things when it comes to a head coach like Ben Johnson, we know you got to be smart, right? We know he could dial up the offense. We watched him do it for years in Detroit. In fact, we watched him do it against the Bears as those Lions teams averaged 33 points a game, the best in the NFL over those 3 years under Ben Johnson. You got to be tough, right? You got to be able to stand in a room. You got to be able to command their presence. And when you come the head coach, you got to be able to do it offensively. You got to be able to defensively. You got to lead your coaches. You have to lead everyone from top to bottom. And the last thing that I think Ben Johnson does so well, and we watched the play out yesterday, is you have to be authentic, right? You have to be authentic. And when you bring something like that, and Kevin Byard talked about it the first time he introduced that to the team, where Byard was like, I don't know. But again, if you believe, if you buy in, if you trust the man that is leading you, like Ben Johnson is doing, you can feel that that is a culture-building thing, a culture-building cheer, and more importantly, it is a locker room that's identity looks like it has drastically shifted, not just with Matt Eberflus, but for years and years and years, you have watched teams that have struggled, and maybe more importantly, just what they're doing offensively. The Bears are six now in total offense, and that is drastically different from what we've seen from years past. You want to weigh in on anything that happened today, Caleb Williams or otherwise, 312-644-6767. We're also asking you can text us or call us at that number, 312-644-6767. top three reasons why the Bears are where they are right now, 8-3 atop the NFC North, and they have their sights set on the playoffs, although perhaps more importantly, their sights set on the defending Super Bowl champs and the Philadelphia Eagles on Black Friday. One thing we know about this team, they are a resilient bunch. Here's Caleb Williams with Evan Washburn on CBS after the game.
Yeah, we're resilient. You know, coaches instilled that in us. We also understand this is a 60-minute game, and we got to play all 60 minutes, as you've seen for the past, I don't know how many weeks, but, you know, we got big games coming up. This is a great team. You know, obviously the history of this team and everything, but we got big games coming up, and we got to get better.
You know, if I could have given out a game ball for Ben Johnson, I probably would have given one to Dennis Allen, right? I mean, they gave up 28 points. No, they gave up 21 points. Caleb Williams allowed the 7 points with his fumble in the end zone. But the job that Dennis Allen did to get this team ready to go, right? We're talking about Ogbonbamiga. I had a better offer than I did on here. 14 tackles for a guy that really hadn't played at all. He's a special teamer. DeMarco Jackson. I love the story about DeMarco Jackson. He had the green dot in his helmet, meaning Dennis Allen is talking to him, and he is talking to the rest of the bunch. Well, Jackson has a six-month-old. And if anyone's ever had a child, you know that you don't get a lot of sleep. Well, this, you know, you talk about good, better, best. His wife wanted to make sure he could be better. And so he got up an hour earlier than usual, stood in front of the mirror and practiced out loud, getting the cadence, getting the delivery, getting everything he needed to say clearly. Practice in the mirror. And his wife said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of the little one." She was up all night. And so he was able to get it done. 15 tackles for him. He had 11 in the previous 9 games this year. And that is a team raising and rising to the challenge. Here's Ben Johnson, his message to his team to fight through these injuries.
With that injury, with all the injuries that are happening to your team, it seems natural for someone to have low morale after that. What is your message, or what was your message to your team to fight through all of that
adversity? Well, this is every team. This is the NFL. So this is what happens when you play a 17-game season. And it just so happened, it, you know, back half of the season's when it caught up to us a little bit. And, you know, we'll get some of the reinforcements back at some point. But until then, we got to hold down the fort. And so that's what we'll do. And these guys are going to go out and compete. This is what we've been practicing for, what we've been training for all along. You know, the coaching staff has known this. All of our practice squad players, they know it's highly likely that they'll get called upon at some point. And you know, it's just, I can't say enough good things about the guys that stepped up today to help us win that ball game.
So the defense, incredibly decimated. Offensively, that wasn't the case on the offensive side of the ball. I know Luke Newman got a shout out there, and Theo Benedict didn't go, but Ozzie Trapillo was, if you look at PFF numbers, and you know, most importantly, perhaps just watch the game and how little his name was mentioned, that Trapillo showed up and did a really good job protecting Caleb Williams' blind side. But there was one play that I thought could change this game. And I'll tell you, the first pass that Caleb Williams threw in the game, it kind of made you go, uh-oh. Like, is this a sign of things to come, where it's like he threw it into a team meeting? There were so many Steelers jerseys in one area. But this is what happened in the end zone. I thought things may go awry for this game.
Here's Williams in the pocket. Williams trying to get out of the pocket. He won't. Loses the ball, and the Steelers jump on top of it. It's a touchdown. And it's T.J. Watt.
I'm not sure what Caleb was trying to do there. Either tuck the ball away or throw it. One or the other. You can't just let it hang out there like that when you got a defender in your face wrapped all around you.
So Herbig on the recovery. Watt will get credit for the sack on the QB and the forced fumble.
I mean, if he's going to pass my record, that's one hell of a way to do it. With a strip sack causing a touchdown. Good for you, TJ.
He is now the Watt family all-time sacks leader.
You know, I like the Watts, but I'll be honest, I really wasn't into that moment. I wasn't looking to celebrate TJ because it felt like that. Well, ultimately, any time a defense scores, And in that fashion, you think that could be a game-changing play. When defenses are putting up touchdowns, that can change the course of a game. And this was a 31-28 final. I will say this about T.J. Watt. The way that he ragdolled Caleb Williams, I know Caleb isn't a giant. He's 6'1", 230 pounds. That looked like me throwing my 5-year-old onto the couch. Like, one-armed, he completely ragdolled Caleb Williams.
Oh, he does that to every quarterback.
And minutes before, I think they'd put up on the screen how good the Bears had been at taking care of the ball, how good Caleb had been at taking care of the ball. And if you want to weigh in on the Bears quarterback, 312-644-6767, I will continue to celebrate this about Caleb. Because the next scoring play after that one, because if you recall, the Bears got the ball back, then DeAndre Swift fumbled, then the Bears got it back again, 70-play drive. It was a 12-yard touchdown pass to Colston Loughlin. And as bad as that moment was by Caleb, listen, a lot of people are tackled by T.J. Watt. A lot of people are sacked by him. But Caleb held onto the ball far too long, right? It wasn't just an offensive line that was blown up. He somewhat created the situation that he was in. That's why it was such a bad play. But one thing that I will ever, as of now, think very, very positively about Caleb Williams is he does not spiral when things don't go well. He has this thing, this term. He seems to have just really good emotional regulation. I don't know if that's been practiced and preached into him. I don't know if it started as a 5-year-old with a very mature mom and dad. It mentioned his yoga and his breathing. I do yoga. I don't think I can handle myself as well as he does in those final 2 minutes that he does in a drive. The way that he handles himself in the podium after bad losses. He just somewhat, and we know that he has an intense amount of fire in him, right? We see him, the only time he really lets it fly is when he's celebrating after a touchdown, celebrating after a score, even celebrating after a victory coming off of the field. That's when you feel emotion pour out of him. Other than that, he is cool, calm, and collected. And that is one of the best things I think your quarterback can have, because things are going to go wrong. Like, you're going to throw interceptions. Even as good as he is, he's going to fumble in the end zone. But what's the next play? What is the next quarter like? And I thought that was, because we can listen, his completion percentage is under 60%. All right, you can spend a lot of time thinking about that. What I find myself looking at most currently when it comes to Caleb Williams, first of all, he's 11 games in to a brand new offense for someone who was set up very, very poorly his rookie year. So if you would have said to me, well, would you have taken or would you have decided who Caleb Williams is going to be with Ben Johnson after 11 games? Absolutely not. If anything, I would say I'm incredibly impressed with where he is 11 games in. But what I see from Caleb Williams is you've got the teachables versus the intangibles. The teachables is things that he can work on and get better at. That's your timing. That's your rhythm. Because I know that we want to make so much of his accuracy, but if this is about timing and rhythm, if things are not on time, then the ball may be behind a receiver and may be above a receiver because we don't know exactly if the receiver is going to the right place that he thinks he's going to be at. But the timing, that is something that he can continue to work on, right? The teachables are things that he is growing at and things that you can say, okay, he can work on that. The intangibles of what Caleb Williams has is what has to make you feel really, really good about the future. The intangibles for Caleb Williams, the foot speed to go and get a first down when he needs to. The arm strength that I think may be in the top 5, if not top 3 in the NFL. The clutch performance, the ability to slow down the game late in games. And today or yesterday may not be the best example, but if you look at his entire season, I mean, yesterday was the first time he lost a fumble all year. He has an innate ability to take care of the ball. If you set up his intangibles versus his teachables, there's a lot of the intangibles he has you can't teach. There are things that he still is working on and we'll get better at. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Aaron, who's hitting leadoff with us this morning. Hey, Aaron, what's going on? You're on 6-7 The Score.
Good morning, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
You know what? If it's all the same, I sure would appreciate not to have heart attack games anymore. I've had my share this year, you know. My question for you, though, is I've got two of them. I'm generally a full-on optimist. That's how I operate. That's just who I am. But I don't understand in the first half when Caleb Williams tucked the ball to run to the near side, and he made it like a half yard before the first down, why he didn't complete the first down, why he didn't. I think he had a blocker right there. There was something going on.
Yep.
I don't understand why he didn't lower his shoulder and just get the first down. And then the second part is at the end of the game, when we were trying to kill time, and he went for the hero throw versus he could have slid, he could have ran the ball. Like, he had other options that would have kept that clock running and helped us out. Are these learning curves?
Yes. Aaron, thanks for the call. I specifically remember that first down play you're talking about. And I don't know if he just decided to, because they ended up getting the first down on the third down anyways, but I think he just may have made a conscious decision to not take a hit, which it looked like he could have gotten the first down without taking a big hit. But I'm forever good with my franchise quarterback passing on taking any sort of a big hit, if that's what it comes down to. And the other play you're talking about, I do think he is still in a place of learning. But what are we talking about? We're talking about a quarterback learning while his team is atop the NFC North at 8-3 with the sixth best total offense in the NFL. I think that, you know, you mentioned having a heart attack through these close games. Ben Johnson doesn't plan on playing close games his entire tenure with the Bears. In fact, I think he's got plans to blow some teams out like he did in Detroit. But this is what they're building. Right? This is where they're heading. This is where they're going. And I think to get there, you got to find any way to win with anyone who is willing to buy in. And that's where the Bears stand. You want to jump in, 312-644-6767. The CBS crew, they had some thoughts on Ben Johnson and the whole good, better, best thing that they're watching inside the locker room. We'll hear from that. We'll also hear from Ben Johnson coming up on 6-7 The Score.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, breathe on in now, breathe on in.
Good, better, bad.
Good, better, bad.
Never let it rain.
Never let it rain.
Good gets better.
Good gets better.
And it better gets better.
It better gets better.
Bears on three. 1, 2, 3.
Bears!
Well, it's pretty much how our Mondays start in Chicago. The Bears have won 8 of their last 9. I look forward to seeing it from the locker room. Not only who the game ball goes out to, but just watching Ben Johnson deliver it and see the ultimate buy-in from this Bears team. No surprise, they are 8-3. They are atop the NFC North. And we are asking you this question. By the way, the Bears beat the Steelers 31-28. They got the Philadelphia Eagles. Things will get real on the rest of the way out. They've got the Philadelphia Eagles on Black Friday coming up in just 5 days. But we've been asking you, give me the three reasons why the Bears are where they are. Where would you go? I think we probably could all agree with the first one. Maybe not. 312-644-6767. Anthony is in Brighton Park, wants to answer that question. Anthony, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Justin. I believe this is my first time ever speaking to you.
Good talking to you, Anthony.
Yeah, it's nice talking to you as well. My first one is Coach Johnson. In the offseason, I was hoping the Bears would be able to land Ben Johnson, and I was so happy when he decided to tell his agent, get the deal done.
Yep.
It was right after Detroit was knocked out of the playoffs. It was the Monday afterwards. The Bears had a brand new coach, and it was Ben Johnson. I was extremely happy about that. So that's number one. He's changed the culture. Number two is Caleb's resilience. When the Bears have been down, he has been able to come back and engineer successful winning drives. And number three would be the takeaways the Bears have been able to make happen. They made three happen today, so they were still up one takeaway to the two that they lost. So those are my three number ones.
Anthony, good stuff. You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to ask the question is I was curious how many people would have Caleb in their top three. Would you be shocked if there were a lot of people that may not have Caleb in their top three, or could you not have a team 8-3?
I would be surprised. I was just thinking about the Bears' record and his record. He's actually got a winning record now. He lost 10 games last year. He won 7. But he's won 8 this year, 8-7 is 15, and 3-10 are 13, so he's 15-13 by my count.
Well, he's on a much better track than he was last year. Anthony, thanks so much for the phone call. 312-644-6767. Rush in Chicago wants to jump on with us next. Hey, Rush, what's going on?
How's it going? Well, first off, I will say that, yes, Ben Johnson is definitely the difference maker, but aren't we also thankful that we have Ben Johnson and not Coach Eberflus?
Yes.
I mean, Chicago's such a great place, knowing that. But the one thing I really want to highlight is, while people see Caleb Williams' incompletion as a low light, I get it. That rating is pretty bad. It's under 60%. But we also have to look at how Caleb is effective where it matters most, and that's in the fourth quarter. It's a game-winning drives, and nobody's happy about his incompletion rate. But the bright spot is that when it truly matters, this is where he is super effective.
Rush, I agree. I Grant and I, on the other side of the glass, we're discussing how much of Chicago, how many of Bears fans do you think are buying in or are all in on Caleb Williams? Do you, how many in your friend group do you guys discuss Caleb? Does everyone seem to be in on him?
Well, I'll tell you what. You're going to like this. I got breaking news for you.
Oh.
I would say that, yes, we are buying into Caleb Williams, but this police officer here really doesn't care very much about Caleb Williams or the Bears, because I'm in Indiana, and I'm just getting pulled over. So there you have it.
Oh, Rush.
I got so excited about the Bears and everything you're talking about tonight, I started speeding.
Oh.
And now I got a cop coming my way right here.
Are you hands free at least? Are you hands free?
You know, I don't think so. So here we go. So this is definitely an awkward situation for me.
Is he approaching the window?
How you doing?
All right. Reason why I stopped you, a couple reasons. One, you got tail light out. And then two, back there, you're going 73 and it's only 50.
Wow, that's definitely.
Yeah, we're gonna let Rush go. 73.
That's a first.
Yeah, 73 and a 50. That's probably a ticket for Rush. Rush, if you could still hear us through your radio, call us back. We need to know if you ended up with a speeding ticket or not. And also, if you could ask the officer, first of all, Mr. Officer, if you can hear me, please let Rush go. 73 and a 50, 12:35 at night. I don't think it's raining out. Probably an empty road, right? So maybe you could let him slide. Also, I would like to know if the police officer is a believer in Ben Johnson or not. It sounded like he was in Indiana, and it sounds like the Colts may not be for real either.
I was about to say, maybe he's a little bit grumpy about the Colts.
Yeah,
today.
That might be it. But Rush, call us back. Let us know if you made it out of there without a speeding ticket. And if you did, I'd be curious to know how much it cost you calling into the show. 312-644-6767. That's a tough pivot from there. But I feel like Ben Johnson could talk his way out of a speeding ticket, or at least maybe, you know, motivate the police officer to just give him a warning. Former NFL wide receiver Nate Burleson on the set of CBS. Of course, they had the Bears-Steelers game yesterday. Nate Burleson, and get ready, Bears fans, because, first of all, in a major city, they want Chicago around as much as possible. You're going to see far more Bears games on national television next year. But just getting to know, I've kind of watched how things have changed, the conversation around Caleb Williams, although that can be a little bit of a week by week. But the good, better, best has gone national, if you will. Nate Burleson's reaction to seeing it really for the first time.
Ben Johnson talking to a squad, and he was yelling and screaming, and they were barking back, and I kind of joked about how I didn't understand what they were saying. So I have to give a shout-out to somebody on Twitter that helped me out. Here's what he
good,
said.
Better, best.
Good, better, best.
Never
let it rest until your good gets better. And then your better gets best. And right now, that literally describes their season. Slow start, right? They lose the first game, I think, by a field goal. And then the second game, they get smacked up. And all of a sudden, we're questioning what the Bears are. Who are they? Are they going to be good? Is Ben Johnson in over his head? What's going on with Caleb Williams? Why doesn't he have a grasp of this playbook? Then all of a sudden, you know what? Just let your good get better on a daily basis, weekly basis, until you become the best. And right now, I mean, don't look up, but the NFC North, the Chicago Bears are number one in that division. What I really love about it is, let's just take people inside the locker room.
When good, a new better, coach best. Comes
in, it's a very, it's gentle situation.
You got to get buy-in.
You got to get buy-in because coaches are going to come in hype, and they're going to be selling everything they believe in, everything that they have learned in their coaching career. They're almost going to do it on day one. So the first thing you got to get is the vets. You get the vets, then the young fellas will pay attention. They will follow suit. But you can easily lose your team if that enthusiasm seems inauthentic and all of a sudden we're like, we don't believe what he's selling us. And you can just tell by the way that these guys are responding, not just verbally in the locker room, but how they're responding on the field, that they actually believe what Ben Johnson was trying to tell them all year long. And right now, that transition from going from good to better and these guys now believing that they are the best, that's dangerous for everybody else in the league right now.
Nate Burleson on CBS. You know, the good, better, best is very much of a snowball effect, right? Good to better to best. And what has collected over these last number of weeks, number of months, has been that snowball effect. No matter how the Bears have gotten there, and at some point throughout the show this morning, Grant and I are going to revisit those five come-from-behind victories with 2 minutes or less when they were losing. Just to remind you about what we've lived through this season. With still a lot of games left to go. We still got 6 games left to go. But that has been the snowball effect. It's as Nate said, it is playing out from good, better to best. They are not playing their best. They do not have their best on the field, but it doesn't mean it's not worth striving for each and every Sunday. How about head coach Bill Cowher on CBS on his thoughts on Ben Johnson.
I think when you look at Ben Johnson, where he came from, he had some credibility because they played against the Detroit Lions. They watched the creativity that he had with that offense. They knew that he was coming in with the mentality of, you know, we're going to be a physical football team on the offensive side of the ball, but we're also going to be explosive. And that's kind of a fine line of saying, you know what, we're going to have physicality up front, but we're also going to have fun doing this and scoring some points. And I think that there is a degree, that first couple of things. The thing that he said after they lost two games is we didn't know how to prepare. Our practices, we didn't know how to prepare like a champion.
I remember that.
Remember when he came out and talked about, we don't understand what the preparation is.
And people thought he was taking a shot at his squad.
Yes, and he's like, we just don't know how to prepare. And so, yes, and you do have to have validation. Winning has to validate what you're preaching. And so all of a sudden you start having success, but you're not changing your preparation. You're not changing your messaging. And I don't think he's changed his messaging at all. I think all that's done has been reinforced
that's
with
good,
what he's
coach.
Done. Because repetitive messaging is how you do it in this league.
That's Bill Cowher on CBS as they were reacting to this Bears season. The Bears beating the Steelers 31-28. Judson Richards with you on 6-7 The Score. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Please join us 312-644-6767. Rush was a good reminder there to please be hands-free, follow the speed limit, and be safe if you are out there on the roads. One of the things that, you know, Bill Cowher brought up a moment in time, again, this has been such a wild season, it's like, oh yeah, remember after they lost to the Detroit Lions, they were blown out, I think it was a 52-21 final, 52-21, yeah, so basically, yeah, that was something to watch.
Tough one.
And Ben Johnson said, we still don't have championship practice habits, and it's like, duh. You just got blown out. You're 0-2 to start the season. I didn't find it to be, you know, this shocking comment, but it was headline worthy, and people were like, oh, well, you know, Ben is challenging his team. Well, call it challenging or not, the Bears rose to the occasion. Like, the players weren't butthurt about what their coach said, which seemed to be a very factual thing, watching how they played the first two games of the season. But then they took it out on the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that's been the cleanest game that they played the entire year. That was from top to bottom, offense, defense to special teams, that was the best that they played. And that has allowed them to grow and build and get to where they are. 312-644-6767. We are asking you, top three reasons why the Bears are where they are. We can agree that Ben Johnson is in your top three. I would guess you're number one. But any of you out there think that Caleb Williams shouldn't be in the top three? Because that was a debate that we had before the show. We did want to check in with Ben Johnson, hear his post-game press conference. Here's what Ben Johnson had to say talking to the media after the game.
You mentioned some frustration with your accuracy.
Yep.
When you're in a funk like that, how do you pull out?
Yeah, you next play mindset, and then from there you just got to go out there and execute. Today, I just in the beginning it didn't feel like I got into a good rhythm. I was missing passes and it was it was kind of weird. It was just I wasn't too frustrated like the couple weeks ago where I was just missing and I got supremely frustrated and. And things like that, I understood, and I wrote on my notes for myself to stay positive for myself, but also the guys. And, I think I did a solid job with that this week and, just was missing. And it was, like I said, on passes and routes that I've been hitting the past couple of weeks and been pretty good with. And so, we'll figure it out. We'll go back and watch and figure out why.
All right, so that was Caleb Williams after the game. We are getting some texts. Kevin, a police officer, has weighed in, said the speeding ticket in Illinois for going 23 miles per hour over is $164. So
it's a bit hefty.
Yeah, let's hope that Rush was able to avoid that. 312-644-6767. Ryan is with us in Oak Forest, wants to weigh in on that Steelers quarterback situation. Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I wanted to give a sound breakdown as to why Aaron Rodgers didn't play and the difference it made in the game plan and why I was more fearful of Mason Rudolph playing. My quick meatball take was, oh, he's scared because the Bears are good now and he can't let us get the last laugh and we tend to lose against backups. But if you look at it, an injured wrist, even on the non-throwing arm, it can really compromised ball security. It's a heavy oblong ball, and you're running the risk of a few fumbles, drop snaps, the like. Also, the Steelers are playing three straight conference games after this, more games of consequence, and you'd want your best stuff for those. And with all of our linebackers being out, you have to pick between running nickel or dime all day and being susceptible to the run, or letting your inexperienced backers play like starters and allow all kinds of inside yardage. And so with the Steelers having to back up in anyway, you saw that they favored the run anyhow, consistently putting extra linemen and big Darnell Washington as H-backs, putting them in pre-snap motion to lay the wood against our late front. I'm actually surprised that the Steelers didn't cover the spread.
Ryan, thanks for the phone call. I'll tell you this. I think that the Bears caught a break not facing Aaron Rodgers. I thought that Mason Rudolph may give the Bears more troubles just because I thought, you know, Aaron Rodgers has gotten the ball out of his hand incredibly fast all season long. Typically, older quarterbacks just don't want to get hit. I thought Mason Rudolph may actually throw the ball deeper, and with a decimated secondary, I thought that may be a problem. Mason Rudolph had a terrible game. I mean, and he dinked and dunked it. He basically, and I will say offensively as well, the decisions that they made to put him in, they did not throw the ball to the middle of the field. They did not seem to go after the Bears linebacker core at all, which was filled with all backups.
He did not get into rhythm at all during the game.
Not for a second, and we should give the Bears defense credit. We should give Dennis Allen perhaps a game ball of what he was working with. But for those that wanted to beat Aaron Rodgers, yesterday was a great reminder. I certainly felt it during the game that the storyline, which should make you feel really good at Bears fans, has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers anymore. Like, he is out of your life. The next time Aaron Rodgers does anything really meaningful on an NFL field probably will be when he retires as a Green Bay Packer and he's honored there at Lambeau Field. That's how close his career is to being over. And by the way, if you wanted to send him out in a demoralizing way, I think this may have been a really, really tough day for Aaron, because Soldier Field is where he's had some of his best moments or impactful moments, and had, you know, he's a guy who seems to really get a rise out of being disliked and even hated. So I would venture to guess, as he's probably said it, that some of his favorite NFL moments have come at Soldier Field. But he is at a state now in his career where he will probably never be back to Soldier Field, and was not healthy enough to play and couldn't help his team who ended up losing.
He was so mad he was flipping off cameras.
Just flipping off cameras. Just a guy out there throwing the bird around before he didn't ever take the field. But I again, like, the real story about the Bears and Aaron Rodgers, that's done. The new story is Caleb Williams versus Jordan Love. And we are going to get two of those games in the next month. That is where the story is at. Like, I actually think Aaron may have beaten the Bears yesterday just because of what he has between the ears and how they could have confused, again, a really decimated linebacker core and secondary. Like, Mason, I don't think he had any, because they said it during the broadcast that Mason Rudolph pretty much runs the play that's called in. Well, Aaron Rodgers changes a lot of plays. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers is virtually an offensive coordinator on the field. And I think that he would have had more success confusing guys who were not used to being out there every single day and are more like backups. But that wasn't the case at all. But if you were like, oh, we got to beat Aaron Rodgers, I think it was a pretty demoralizing day for him. For the last time he'd ever be at Soldier Field, unable to take the field, with his career that close to being over. Let's go back to the phones. 312-644-6767. Zeus is with us in Oak Lawn. Hey, Zeus, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just wanted to bring a couple things to attention. I disagree. I think that we would have beat with Rodgers, because like Rex Ryan was saying this morning on the morning show, he said he checks out their plays and the plays go bad for him. And so the next thing of it is, it's just like this, man. We have to give this coaching staff what I like to call two claps and a Ric Flair. And this is what I do to my team. We go like this. because man, they're coaching with the scrap. They're coaching with the scrap heap, and they're getting this done. And this is unbelievable. Everybody's talking about everybody else getting healthy around the national programs, but they're not realizing that there's something growing and brewing here in Chicago, and it's brewing a good cup of coffee. Y'all have a good morning.
Zeus, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. You know, I've been looking at what's next for the Bears, and it's like, is their next or final six games of the season, like, as daunting as we've somewhat made it out to be? I'll say this, because the Bears had the most difficult strength of schedule with the Steelers still on it. So now that they've beaten the Steelers and that game's in the past, the Bears have the fourth most difficult. Well, actually, they're tied for third most difficult with the Detroit Lions. Their opponents have a 6.06 winning percentage. All right, so that's the third most difficult. The Green Bay Packers, in fact, have the most difficult strength of schedule. You know why a big part of that is? Because they play the Bears twice. They have the division leader on their schedule twice. So that should make you feel good first and foremost as a Bears fan, that the reason why the Packers' schedule is so difficult is because you are still on their schedule twice. But the Bears have the Eagles, they've got the 49ers, and then they got the Detroit Lions. Do you really... like, is there anyone in front of the Bears that you're quote-unquote scared of? Like, are there any beasts? Are there any monsters in the NFL right now? To answer my own question, no. The Eagles just lost to the Dallas Cowboys. All right, you're going to get them on a short week in Philadelphia, the defending Super Bowl champs. Is that an easy game? No, absolutely not. How would you feel if the Bears have Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon back in that game? Because I think that is a very, very real possibility. Because you got to keep this in mind. Not only are the Bears trending towards getting healthy, and let's say, just for argument's sake, that the game for the division could be Week 18 against the Detroit Lions, right? What I have as their most meaningful game, all right, well, the Packers are the most meaningful games. But what may end up being the most meaningful, because it is the last one, is the Detroit Lions. But that gives the Bears the best chance to be at their healthiest. Point being, I would rather have the Detroit Lions Week 18 than, let's say, Black Friday against Philadelphia Eagles. Give me the out-of-division game. Give me another couple weeks to try to get Kyler Gordon back. Give me another couple weeks to try to get Jalen Johnson back and TJ Edwards and go down the line. But that's not the only thing we should keep into account when we consider the difficulty of the Bears' remaining schedule. This is still a team learning, right? Like, this is still a team loading. I mean, think about what they got from Colston Loveland yesterday. And he is 21 years old and has just scratched the surface as an NFL player. And even Luther Burden as well. But most importantly, every game that Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson play together is growth towards the future and improvement. And that may come within 5 days. Right? I think so much of this coaching staff, from Declan Doyle to RJ Barrett, that this game film, Caleb Williams will be a better football against the Philadelphia Eagles just a few days from now because of the experience that he had against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then take that same thought process and apply it to the Packers game, and then to the Bears, to the Browns game, and then to the Packers game after that, and so on and so on. Like, everything that is happening in front of us is brand new. What you hope is, this is the 2015 Cubs, they've just gotten there early. That's what you're hoping to see.
Because 26 would look pretty dang good if they were the 2015 Cubs.
My point exactly. And if you're saying, well, you know, Matt Nagy had Club Dub and he had the boom, right? I know the last time they were 8-3, the last time they were in first place in division, 2018 with Matt Nagy. I get it if you're a skeptic. All I would say is go to wherever you look up your statistics and look up offensively how this team is doing and offensively how that team was doing. And go watch Mitch Trubisky and watch Caleb Williams. Because Caleb, I thought, had a really below average first half and arguably his worst play as a pro with that fumble in the end zone. And they still had 17 points at the half. Do you know how many Bears teams struggled to reach 17 throughout the course of a season over four quarters? Right? Like, we could complain about the offense in a number of different areas today. They scored 31 points. He was 3 for 3 in the red zone. So they are building. So don't get too caught up in the strength of schedule in the West of the way out, because the Bears are getting better and getting healthier as they move on throughout the season. 312-644-6767. We're asking you your three top reasons why the Bears are where they are. Still wondering if Rush made it out without getting a speeding ticket. Rush, please let us know. We're worried about you financially, but glad you're safe. Coming up next, Scott Baer, the Marquee Sports Network. He's on the beat of the Bears. We will try to get a clear idea about what stars the Bears may get back health-wise against the Philadelphia Eagles. Hour number two, coming up next.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.